You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Today, I want us to look at this subject that has to do with partnering with God. Covenant relationship. I have alluded to this for years here at the church and used the expression when we do our part, God always does his part. And just felt now is the time to preach and teach on covenant partnership with God. The Lord first, this is a life message. It's a life-changing message for me. This series is. When I was probably 35, 36 years old, Liz and I had assumed the pastorate of a church that had fussed and they fought. I preached a series on the Lord's Prayer and forgiveness. I had people sit on one side that was related to people that sit on the other side that hadn't spoke to each other in 5 years. They went out opposite doors. There was fighting and fussing over money because we didn't have any. And so there was fighting and fussing, and it was just, there'd been a moral failure by the pastor previously, and the church was in debt, and but it was in a college town, and Liz and I really felt directed there, and we went and just young and just expected God to do stuff, and God started doing stuff, and I mean, the deacons and the pastor had always been like this, and it was just a church with a history. God started moving, things started happening, money started coming in, people started getting saved. We entered into a season where we raised about $1 million in 2 years. At that time, the church probably only ran about 500, and that launched another season when you've heard me talk about where we saw 1,000 people get saved in just a short period of time. And the church just exploded. And I was like just cheerleading and going. And I was preaching Sunday morning, teaching a Sunday school class, preaching a second service, preaching Sunday night, and preaching every Wednesday night. We had crowds at all of our services. And I'm like, my whole life was, God, what am I going to preach next? And it was just trying to keep my head above water. And awesome things were happening, but I was in over my head. I'm just trying to find the next sermon, really. And God spoke these words to my heart. And this has been life-changing and a bit a part of who we are from that time till this. And it was simply this. Fred, if you will do your part, I will do my part. If you'll just do your part, I'll do my part. And what came out of that is this whole covenant partnering with God that took Liz and I to another level of life and ministry, and really changed our lives. You know, people ask sometimes, they say, Pastor, what's the greatest thing about pastoring? Greatest thing for me is preaching. I love to preach. I love to teach. I love these moments. You know, if things continue, we'll have to add a service. That's okay. I don't mind. You know, I worked hard to get this sermon. I want to preach as many times as I can. And I love the worship experience, this whole experience. If this was what all pastoring was, listen, I would never think about retiring. I just go until I die, because I love the preaching, teaching aspect of ministry. I love seeing people come to know Jesus. It's encouraging when people say, hey, Pastor, that's a great message. But when no one gets saved, that gets really old, because I don't preach just so people say, hey, good message. I preach so people change. So there's transformation, which leads to the third thing that I love. It's people getting saved, and it's seeing people grow and experience more and more and more of God. And I look across this room, and I see people who've been saved in this church in the last 7 years, and they are in church, loving Jesus, serving God, growing, playing the drums, involved in ministry, involved in youth, involved in serving in some capacity. And just a few years ago, their life was radically different, but now they are on fire for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, that puts some fuel in my tank. I love to see people get it. When they walk out, there was a lady said to, this morning, she said, I get it, Pastor. I love it when people get it. And it changes their life. Amen? Sure. It's the way God intended. But the problem is, a lot of folks in church live as spiritual paupers. They live way beneath their spiritual blessing. They've received Jesus Christ as Savior, but they struggle with lordship, and they have not yet come into a partnership. They don't see it as a partnership, that they are partners with God. I don't see it that God's partnering with me, though he extends his partnership to me. I see him, the greater part, me being a part of what he's doing. I never say, hey, God, come and bless the Island Church. No, I say, God, come, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Amen? We want to be a part of what you are doing. So many folks fail to grasp this marvelous relationship that God has made available. But when we get it, when we understand it, it will cause us to ignite. It will cause us to explode spiritually. To literally, it's cliche, that go to the next level. But there's this idea of rising up, of a mind change, a repentance type mentality, going one direction, and now we're going a different direction. I really believe this. I believe this church is filled with people who want to grow. I think that's why our Bible studies are full, both the men and women. It's why this sanctuary is filled today. People know when they come to the Island Church that they're going to hear the Word of God, that we are going to give Scripture. In fact, today, there's so much Scripture. There's more Scripture in this message than probably anything I've given you, and I don't know when. You'll have to go to your Bible app. It's not YouVersion, but go to your Bible app. There's some details in your bulletin to show you how you can retrieve all of these points and all of these passages of Scripture. And I encourage you to go back through them, to look at them, to pray, and to read the Scriptures that we put in place here. But I know that people come and they're hungry for the Word. And so that's in my mind when I'm preparing. I'm like, man, God, people are coming. They want to hear truth. Well, I love that. I believe that that's most of the people. There's probably some that we're just here, but a lot of folks want to hear and they want to grow. That's why I'm preaching this series on partnering, covenanting with God. And again, so we're not living below our privileges, not living below the blessing, not looking at, my dad used to talk about people read the Bible as a wish book. He would always say, they read it like Sears and Roebuck catalog. Kind of gives you a perspective, doesn't it? They're just going through wishing what they could get. Well, I want you to see that God has made available everything he has. And he's wanting to come into partnership with us. Now, we've all been disappointed in life. And a big part of this message is helping us to understand that God keeps his word. There's a lot of folks don't keep their word. There's a lot of folks that don't come through. Now, they mean well, but they let you down. There's some folks that they're just liars. They have no intention of ever telling the truth. But that's culture today. There's a lack of truth. You know, I'm excited. We've been getting some drawings about our foyer, our lobby, and redoing the offices to better serve, and coffee area, and knocking that middle wall out, and it's a pretty detailed project. And I was reminiscing. I was looking at some of the drawings that the architect gave us, and this week, and my mind went back to this almost 7 years ago when we came, and first 2 or 3 weeks I was here, I said, let's knock this wall out and create a little more space into this coffee area. And one of the leaders said something to this effect to me. They said, Pastor, whatever you do, just make sure and finish whatever you tell the people that you're going to do. And I thought about that, and I thought, where'd that come from? Well, that come from somebody saying they're going to do something, and they didn't do it. They didn't follow through. And we've all experienced that at some juncture, some level. And I'll tell you this, we're doing our best. We'll finish that project. You say, when? As soon as you give us the money, we'll finish that project. How'd you like that one, huh? But you know what? We said we'd do upstairs, and there's an incredible children's theater where there's 70 or 80 kids up there right now learning about Jesus and going to take a Bible challenge in just a few weeks, and it's finished. We said we put carpet down, and we got carpet down, and Archie, we got these walls painted and got that sound booth moved, and that was a major project, and wondered how are we going to do that and how are we going to run the cords. This man's brother came in here and just said, hey, I'll take care of that for you, and ran all the wires, did everything, rewired this place so that thing works at maximum capacity, and it didn't cost us a dime. Somebody say amen. You know, thank you, Jesus. So we've said, and I want to. Here's what I'm saying. I try the best I can to do what I promise you that I say I'm gonna accomplish. But you know, I have the ability to let you down. The Apostle Paul let some folks down. And if the Apostle Paul let some folks down, I figure I got a possibility to let some folks down. It's in your scripture, and it's in 2 Corinthians 1, 15 through 22. And I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to point out a couple scriptures in here. Look at verse number 1 and 15, it says, because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. See, the Apostle Paul wanted to go visit these folks at Corinth. And he told them that he wanted to come and that he was planning on coming. But here's what happened. Things didn't work out. And so apparently, and we're catching some bits and pieces of this, but apparently there's a little bit of a rift there. They're maybe saying, well, you didn't keep your word. You said you were going to come to see us. And the Apostle Paul's defending himself. Maybe so before even accusation, because he comes back and he says, was I vacillating? Verse 17. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? He says, you know, I don't go in to say, well, maybe it's yes, maybe it's no, I don't know. I'm going to say yes, but it might be no. And so in his defense, he's speaking these words, and then he pivots. You hear that expression? I heard it on CNN or Fox or one of the news stations the other day, who said he pivoted. They were asking him these questions, and he pivoted. He got out of that kind of what was going to be a trap, and he pivoted. Well, the Apostle Paul pivots here. And he says this. He says, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yet yes and no. But, here's the pivot, but... So he takes the attention off of him and he turns the attention to the Lord, and he said, but in him, it is always yes. And then the next verse, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. But in him, in Christ, it is always yes. Verse 20, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. Can we say that together? For all the promises of God find their yes in him. One more time. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. He's saying God's promises, maybe you've heard it expressed this way. God's promises are yes, yes, and amen. What he's saying is God doesn't say yes one day and no the next. That may happen to us, but it doesn't happen to God. God doesn't vacillate. God's not yes one day, no the next. But his promises in him, his promises are always yes. All the promises of God find their yes in him. Amen. God's promises are yes. Come on now. Isn't that awesome? Is it for today? God's promises are yes. God watches over his word to perform it. God keeps his word. That's why we should pray the promises of God. My dad used to say this. He'd say, the Holy Spirit will be the best prayer partner you'll ever have. Because the Holy Spirit points you in the direction of the Word of God. Stand on the Word. Pray the Word. He says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men. And he doesn't scold. Listen, ask God for his promise. He's not going to scold you for it. He's generous. He's a yes God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's all yes concerning God's word, and God keeps his word. Now, let me go back. A lot of promises are made. We live in an advertisement commercial. It's a PR society. And commercials are always promising much and sometimes not producing much. I mean, all you got to do is, I mean, it's on earlier, but just stay up a little later and watch the infomercials. I mean, if you will use this product, you can grow hair. If you spray this on, you'll grow hair or at least fill in the spots. This, I don't mean make fun. This, there was a precious woman. She had sprayed it. This was years ago. I was doing a graveside service. She had sprayed it on. It was raining. Her hair was just growing down her body as it was falling. What about this? If you buy this machine, you're going to look like this girl that's on that machine. How many husbands have bought their wife a machine? We won't go there, will we? Or if you use this machine, you're going to look like this guy. You're going to have this six-pack. You get the machine, but the keg's still there. Buy that machine, it ends up being a great place to throw your clothes when you take them off before you go to bed. Oh, Lord, there's so many of you that's been there. God bless you. God bless us all. Now, there's all these promises. And then you get into politics, and it's like, who's telling the truth? It's almost like, and I say this facetiously, and I thank God, and there's some godly congressmen, senators, people who serve, and thank God for them. But so much you just wonder, it's not whether someone's telling the truth, it's how big is the lie? I say that, and I know that's kind of a blanket and extreme, but I say that That's the culture that we live in. There's not a lot of truth. People are promised things and they're let down all the time. And so what happens, and why I'm preaching, and this is pretty simple in this, is to help you to understand you can't allow culture to influence your relationship with God, because there are people that wonder, will God come through for me? I'm not sure. I believe he'll do it for others. I'm just not sure he'll do it for me. I'm here to tell you, God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. The result is that all the promises of God, when you partner with God, all the promises of God, and God happens to be the stronger party, his promises are yes, yes, and amen. Say that with me. His promises are yes and amen. So he's the stronger party. And we, now get this, we have access to all of his resources. Amen? We have access. Listen, Jesus overcame the devil. He was the God-man. And we have access to everything that Jesus had to overcome the devil. Somebody say amen. Yes. So, God, the stronger party, invites us to partner with him. We are the weaker party. And here's all he asks of us. He's saying, I'm going to give you everything I've got. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to give me everything you've got. And ironically, we're the ones that balk at it. Ironically, we think, well, how in the world could I do that? I mean, I'd have to give up. God's the stronger. Everything in his word is available to us. And yet we, the weaker party, say, I'm not sure about that, God. Isn't it ironic? It's ironic that God wants to partner with you and me who have nothing. We're nothing but helpless and hopeless, and we're nothing but a mess. We're the weaker party. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. Because he knew he was the weaker. But yet we're like, I'm not sure I want to do that. And then we turn around and happen to think that we're somebody. We're like the elephant that's crossing the bridge, and there's a mouse that's hitched a ride with the elephant. And when the elephant's going across the bridge, I mean, that old bridge is squeaking and moaning and groaning and it's swaying. And they get to the other side, and that mouse says, man, we sure did make that bridge rock, didn't we? And that's how we are. We think, boy, God, didn't we do something great? God's the greater party. We're the weaker party. Not asking God to come join my team. I'm joining his team. Amen? Why in the world? Why in the world wouldn't you want to live for God? I think of that. When you understand God has given us opportunity, access to everything. I often wonder when I preach, these thoughts just come to my mind. I wonder, why in the world doesn't someone run to an altar? Why in the world doesn't someone say, God, I give up. It's time. Why do we keep hanging on? And here's the second question. Why in the world wouldn't you want to partner? Wouldn't you want to partner with God? Wouldn't you want to walk in partnership with him? I mean, think about it. When you think of God's promises, amen? Listen, God's promise. Number one, he's promised to hear our prayers. It's Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24. Now walk with me through this pretty rapidly, guys. But God promises to hear our prayers. Before they call, I'll answer. While they're yet speaking, I'll hear. God promises to build and preserve the church. He's going to build his church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He's promised to reward us for being faithful. He'll repay each person according to what he's done. He's promised to always be with us. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the end of the age. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's promised to receive and help those who come to him, because he said, in no wise will I cast you out. He's promised to send Jesus back to take us home. If I go, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come again and take you with me, so you can be with me, so where I am, there you may be also. He's promised to never leave us alone. I'll not leave you orphans. I will come for you. He's promised to turn our tragedies to triumph. He said, I'll make everything work out for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. He's promised to never allow us to be tempted above our ability. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. He'll make a way out. He's promised to continue to work in us. He's promised that he's going to continue to perfect us into that day of completion. He's promised to help us do his will, for it is God who works in you to will and to work his good pleasure. He's promised to supply all our need, but my God shall supply all your need. He's promised to give us wisdom when we ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He's promised to forgive our sins. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. And he's promised to someday put an end to evil and death and sorrow. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death will be no more, and there'll be no more mourning. That's the promise of God. That's just 15 of them. There's over 3,000. Why in the world wouldn't you want to partner with God? What's partnering with God? What's covenant relationship? It's when we do our part, God always does his part. You can't live for Jesus here in church and then go home and live like the devil, talk like the devil, and act like the devil, live immoral, think immoral, allow yourself to be consumed with this world and the lust of this world. You can't live one foot in, one foot out. Partnering with God, he gives us everything and he asks for everything. Come on, amen. He's asking that we pour out everything. We're going to walk through this. We're going to learn. We're going to learn what it means to walk in covenant relationship. There's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament. I'm going to close with this thought. We'll pick it up. But there's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 27. God is saying to the Israelites, I want to partner with you. In verse 9, it says, O Israel, this day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Verse 10 says, you shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Now let me jump ahead. As Moses. Now let me jump ahead to when they cross and over. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Here's what he had them do. Verse 33. They stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levites, Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant. Half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebo, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded them at first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. And goes on to say who was there. I would have loved to have been there. He puts six tribes on one side and six tribes on the other, and then they stand up and they begin to read the blessing and curses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know what? We speak this blessing almost every Sunday. It's one of the blessings for obedience. If you will obey, blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out, and whatever you put your hand to, you will be blessed. your family be blessed. Do you know what they did? When they're standing on each side and the promises of God are being read, do you know what they did? They yelled, "Amen! Yes, so be it, let it happen." When I read the promises of God, I didn't look up, but I'm sure there was somebody that sat like this. And how you can sit with your arms crossed when the word of God's proclaimed, and how someone can sit through a charismatic service and not say, "Amen, praise God, hallelujah," because the word of God doesn't lie. And we sit there in our arrogance. No, no, no. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes to your word. Amen. Amen.